All right, we'll say good morning. So today's daf, we begin Maseches Beitza. Today's daf is daf Beis. Says the Mishnah, fascinating idea. Beitza shenolda b'yomtov. If you have an egg that was literally born, an egg that was laid on yomtov, beishame omrim socha, beishilo omrim lo socha. Beishame say you may eat the egg, and beishilo say you may not eat the egg. And we'll say, obviously, in the Gemara, we're going to discuss what exactly is the nature of the issue over here. What is the nature of the machlokes? What would be wrong with a beitza, with an egg that was laid on Yom Tov? So the next machlokes the Gemara records. So now we get to Inyanei D'yoma. So Beis Shammai says that the shear for Sa'ar, Sa'ar, remember, is we normally translate it as sourdough. So sa'ar is something that is chametz and has the ability or the capacity to make something else chametz as well. So Beis Shammai says the shear for sa'ar is a kizayis, but chametz, stam chametz, he says is kikoseves, is the size of a large date. So we know already from our Yuma days that the size of a large date is just a little bit less than a beitza, a little bit less than an egg's volume. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says sa'ar b'kizayis. Why is it that Beis Shammai has a smaller shear for sa'ar? Mishum dahani tlas mili hava mikule beis shammai umichumri beis hillel gab yom tov. Okay, so Rashi doesn't explain it over here. We'll see in the Gemara that beis shammai has a smaller shear for sa'ar, because since sa'ar has the capacity to make something else chametz, it is dealt with in a more chumer fashion. So we'll say, actually, the common denominator in this Mishnah are things that beis shammai is makel on and beis hillel is machmir on. So says the Gemara. Next case, beis hillel say zev kizayis. Both saor as well as chometz have the same shear of a kizayis. Next, hashochet chayev of biyantiv. If somebody comes ahead and shechts a chaya and an oaf, we'll say a chaya is a non-domesticated animal, an oaf is a bird. So the halacha is there's a concept of kisei hadam. Kisei Adam means that when you shecht a non-domesticated animal, or you shecht an oaf, or you shecht a bird, so halacha l'maaseh, you have to cover its blood with dirt. So listen to this. So if one shechts a chayin and oaf on Yom Tov, which of course is permitted because of ochal nefesh, Beis Shammai say, yachbor b'deker v'yichasas. So most like the case that we're dealing with over here is the following situation. When halacha l'maaseh, you did not prepare dirt beforehand for Kisei Adam. Now, under normal circumstances, what you would do is you prepare dirt. You prepare dirt, and that's why after you shechted, you'd have dirt ready to go ahead and cover the blood. Let's say you didn't prepare dirt. Now, I will say, if you didn't prepare dirt, the issues that you have to deal with primarily are issues of muktzah. Because dirt that was not set aside for any specific constructive use, by definition, is muktzah. So the shaila now is, what do you do if you did not prepare dirt beforehand? So Beis Shammai say, yachbor b'deker v'yichaseh. Literally, you dig with a shovel. You dig with a shovel and you cover it. And all those who Beis Shammai says is like, listen, is at the end of the day, the obligation to do Kisei Adam is Daraisa. At most, you're dealing with issues that are Dirabanon. So the Oraisa obligation goes in and sets aside any Dirabanons. So the Gemara goes right. Beis Shammai say, Lo Yishchot Ele Imkein Hayala Afar Muchan Miba Odyom. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, say, no, do not Shecht unless, of course, what? Unless, of course, you have already prepared dirt from earlier in the day, from literally, I should say, not earlier in the day, really, from Erev Yom Tov. In other words, Beis Hillel say, you must prepare your dirt prior to Yom Tov, and if you didn't prepare your dirt, then I guess it's going to be Milchiks. However, he says, Umodim Shim Shachat, but even Beis Hillel will agree that if you already did Shecht, so remember, Beis Hillel on one hand says, don't Shecht unless, of course, what? Unless, of course, you have prepared dirt. So let's say I did Shecht. Let's say I did check and I did not have prepared dirt. So Beis Hillel agree in that case. Modim shim shachat shiachbor b'deker v'yichasem. But Beis Hillel agrees that if you did go ahead and shecht, that you should go ahead and use your shovel and dig for dirt to use for kisei adam. Sha'afar sha'ifer kira muchanu. And I will say now here the Mishnah makes a very strange statement, because the ashes or the dirt of the stove are prepared for use. And I will say at first glance, this last statement of the Mishnah has absolutely nothing to do with Beis Hillel's statement. The Gemara is going to get a little bit more in depth into this. Okay, so we'll say what comes out from this Mishnah is three fundamental machlokes in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Machlokes number one is Beis Hashanol Debiyamtav. Beis Shammai says you can eat it. Beis Hillel says you can't eat it. Next is the shear for Sa'or and Chametz. Vishnama says Sa'or b'kizayis chametz b'kikoseves. Beis Hillel says both are with kizayis. And number three, Machlokas number three is with kisei hadam. Beis Shammai says you could shecht even if you don't have prepared dirt, whereas Beis Hillel says you may not. But at the end of the day, if you did shecht, even Beis Hillel would agree that you could go ahead and get for yourself the dirt, the kisei hadam. Says the Gemara. Also, we're going to be focusing much more now on the egg situation. So the verse is like this. Let's analyze the egg case. The maskinum. What are we talking about over here? What's the case? Ilema b'tana goles ha'amedes la'achila. If you want to say that we're dealing with a chicken that is used for laying eggs, meaning the primary identity of this chicken is an egg-laying chicken. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Ha'amedes la'achila. If you want to say the primary identity of this chicken is that it's going to be used for consumption, right? That ultimately, again, this is a chicken that is set aside for consumption. Then if that's the case, my time mayu de Beis Hillel. Then why would Beis Hillel go ahead and prohibit the egg that it would lay on Yom Tov? After all, uchlo de ifrasu. It is just simply food separated from food. Look at Rashi Rabbah saying, ha'omedes la'achila, she'ina mukta. Obviously, if a chicken is set aside, when we say set aside, meaning if a chicken is known that it's going to be used for consumption, then lemaisa, it's not muktza on Yom Tov. Because since I have the capacity, the ability to shecht on Yom Tov, therefore the chicken that is set aside for consumption is not considered a muktza item. If that's the case, that the chicken itself is not a muktza item, then what? The eggs should not be muktza either. Why? Gemara says, Uchla de ifrasu, because the eggs are simply considered to be food separated from food. Look at Rashi. Uchla de ifras, ochel shenifrad. It's considered to be food that was separated. V'chaveru memenachos, chiburi ochlin, kiman de mefarsi damu v'chin shidas chud. Okay, so we'll say the idea is that if the chicken itself is set aside for consumption, and if lemaisa, therefore the eggs are considered to just simply be an extension of the chicken itself, and therefore lemaisa, the egg should be totally permitted on Yom Tov also. Ella, rather, it must be, so we'll say, already you see, although the Gemara did not state it explicitly, the issue that we're dealing with regarding the egg is an issue of muktzah. Is an issue of muktza. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, and we'll discuss, by the way, there are many categories of muktza. The category of muktza that we are discussing over here is the category called nolad, something that was born, that came into existence on Yom Tov itself. So what the Gemara is just suggesting is, if the chicken itself was set aside for consumption, then lemaisa, why should there be any din of nolad? Why should there be any din of muktza on the eggs? The eggs are considered part of the chicken. The chicken is part of the food. The chicken is food. And then lemaisa, again, the eggs are automatically food as well. Rather, it must be what? That we're dealing with a chicken that is not set aside for consumption, or that is not marked for consumption, but rather is going to be primarily utilized for the laying of eggs. So if that's the case, my time I would be shamai muktzihin. Then if that's the case, then how could it be that Beit Shammai allows for the consumption of the eggs? After all, it's muktza. To which the Gemara says, Umay kushya. What's the question? So we'll say again, remember, understand, if we're going now with Tarnagoles HaOmedes Legadl Beitzin, so then the idea is that the eggs themselves should be mukta. If the eggs themselves are mukta, then how does Beis Shammai allow for their consumption on Yom Tov? Umay Kosho, what's the question? Dilma Beis Shammai Lesle Mukta. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold of mukta. And we'll say, this takes us back a while to both our Shabbos days. So what does it mean Beis Shammai doesn't hold muktzah? Everybody holds a muktzah, right? No, there's no one who doesn't hold. What happened with the machlokes is the application of the concept of muktzah. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is lesley muktzah. The dilma Rabbi Shimon sirle. Rabbi said maybe Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, who has a more lenient view when it comes to muktzah. Look at Rashi. The Amar beperek kira moser Hashem and shebenever shebekaara aser. Did Rabbi Yehuda? So we'll say, here's the test case. You have leftover oil in your lantern. Okay, I kindled this lantern on Erev Shabbos. There's a certain amount of oil that the candle burns for whatever, 5 hours. Candle extinguishes or Luke extinguishes, and now there's leftover oil. What is the status of the leftover oil? So Rabbi Huda holds it's mukta. It's mukta. You can't use it for the Shabbos. Why? Because Rabbi Huda's shita is that the identity of a particular item is forged bein hashmashos. Twilight period of Shabbos, and once it's muktzah bein hashmashos, even if circumstances change, the muktzah identity still remains. Rabbi Shimon takes a more lenient view, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, the identity of the item need not be locked in at the time of Bein HaShemashos, but rather, again, if circumstances change, the identity could change as well. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, he holds that once the candle extinguishes, the most Hashem, the leftover oil, becomes permitted. So, most like the way the Gemara categorizes Rabbi Shimon's leniency is by saying he doesn't hold of muktzah. Now, of course, again, everybody holds of muktzah. He just has a more lenient view. So, you are suggesting maybe Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Beis Shammai has a more lenient view of muktzah. That's why they allow for the consumption of the eggs on Yom Tov, even though what? It's coming from a tarnagolas ha'omedes legadul beitzim, to which the Gemara says no. Kasaka daiten afilu man dishari mukta benola dasar. It's not true because we know that even, because we assume, I should say, shouldn't say we know, we assume that even the opinion who is mekel, who is lenient in other areas of mukta, will be more machmir in the case of nolad. Look at Rashi. Kasaka daiten lahachi parchinon maitamai de beishamai. Because the Gemara suggests that even Rabbi Shimon, who normally is much more lenient when it comes to muktzah, benolad aser. With nolad, he will agree that it's aser. Why Rabbi said this is amazing? Dilu b'muktzah svira le lo mekatsi inish mi daitei midi dichazile. Rabbi said, why is Rabbi Shimon lenient with muktzah in general? Because Rabbi Shimon says, in general, a person has in mind to use anything that's going to be usable or become usable. That's just the stam. That's the stam mindset of a person. I do not remove the rights of usability from my mind regarding a particular object, whether it's usable now, whether it's, therefore, again, let's say in the case of Shemen, I know when I kindle that nair. That's what? That the candle is going to go out, or the flame is going to go out. There's going to be leftover oil, and I have in mind that I'm going to use that extra oil. However, says Rashi, aval lo lad lo havi yadei din havi dati luyei. When it comes to nolad, what's the issue? When it comes to nolad, because this object is not yet in existence, there was no way for me to have intention to use it. Because there was no way for me to have intention to use it, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that nolad is aser. So the Gemara now is suggesting that remember, we wanted to say that the reason Beis Shammai is lenient and allows you to eat the Beis HaShenolda B'Yom Tov, even when it comes to Matarna Goles Ha'omedes Legadol Beitzim, is why? Because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who has a permissive view of Muktzah. Says Gemara, it's not going to work. Because even Rabbi Shimon, who has a permissive view of Muktzah, still holds of what? Still holds of Nolad. Because the reason he has a permissive view of Muktzah is because the Maisi says a person always has a mind to use whatever's going to be permitted to him. But Nolad, you can't have that mindset because Nolad, you don't know about its existence prior to Yom Tov. So the Gemara goes weiter. Therefore, my time at the Beis Shammai. So if that's the case, we're back to our original question, which is, why does Beis Shammai allow for the consumption of the egg on Yom Tov? So we'll say, now we're going to come to a series of answers. Amar Rav Nachman, all trying to explain Beis Shammai. Amar Rav Nachman, the Olam B'Tarnagolas HaMedes L'Gadol Beitzim. So Nachman says, in reality, what are we speaking about? We are speaking about the Tarnagolas, a chicken that is set aside to go ahead and lay eggs. So it's an egg-laying chicken. V'di isli mukta isli nolad. The lesli mukta lesli nolad. And to which the Gemara answers, it's not as we originally assumed, but rather mukta and nolad are a package deal. The ones who take a more strict interpretation of mukta will subscribe to the concept of nolad, meaning that would really be Rabbi Huda and Beis Hillel. And the one who holds the lesli mukta, and those who take a more permissive view of mukta, like Rabbi Shimon and therefore Beis Shammai, lesli nolad, do not hold of nolad. And therefore, Beis Shammai ki Rabbi Shimon. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon, remember, is the one who takes a more permissive view of muktzah. Therefore, Beis Shammai takes a more permissive view of muktzah, and therefore, Beis Shammai allows one to eat the egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Or Beis Hillel ki Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, taking a more strict interpretation of the laws of muktzah, and therefore saying a Beis Nashul no Yom Tov will be aser as well. So the Gemara says, one second, the Mi'amar Rav Nachman Achi, did Rav Nachman actually say this? But we learned, look at Rashi, Mi'amar Rav Nachman Hachi, did they still Rabbi Yehuda? So did Rav Nachman really say that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel takes a stricter view of Muktzah? And that's really what they're asking. Does Beis Hillel really take a stricter view of Muktzah? V'hotna, we learned, this interesting case, Beis Shammai say, Magbin me'al ha'shulchan atzamos u'klipin. Rav says, very interesting situation. Let's say a person has bones, bones, shells on their table. I will say, so I have a meal, I have bones left on the table, shells left on the table. What's the issue? Bones and shells are technically muktza. They're technically muktza, right? Because again, they serve no purpose. So yes, so how do you dispose of it? So Beishamai say that you could actually lift the atzamos, the bones and the klip and the shells directly from the table. You could lift it. Rashi says magbien b'shabes me'al ha'shulchan atzamos she'inan ru'yin la'achila u'klipei agos v'lo chayshin la'moktza. So Beishamai says you don't have to worry about it. Rabbi says happens to be this is another category. What's called graf shel rei. Graf shel rei means certain things that are inherently disgusting. Where we will see the laws of muktza are treated a little bit leniently regarding these items to give you the ability to dispose of it. So in any event, Beishamai says you could directly move the shells and the bones to get them off your table. Beisula and Beisula say, Mesalek es atabla kula, Umenara. Beisula on the other hand say what? Say that no, you can't handle the bones and the shells directly. Rather, what do you have to do? You have to lift up the table, take the table outside and shake it out outside. I will say this sounds a little bit strange to us. But remember in times of the Gemara, so they didn't eat at one big table. Everybody had their own little table. So it's quite normal to pick up your table and shake it out somewhere else. So they still say you have to pick it up and shake it out somewhere else. But Amar Nachman, Rav Nachman said, this is not the proper girsa. Anu ein lanu ela b'shamik Rabbi Yehuda, u'beisilok Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Nachman comes along, comments on this, and he says, essentially, the shitos have to be reversed. Because we, our Mesora is, that Beishamai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore Beishamai takes a stricter view of Muktza, and Beisila holds like Rabbi Shimon, therefore taking a more lenient view of Muktza. If in essence what Rav Nachman is saying is that Beishamai is the one who requires you to pick up the table, take it out and shake it out, and Beisila is the one who allows you to what? To lift up the bones and the shells directly. But Rabbi said this causes a problem for us. Why? Because Rav Nachman wanted to suggest that the Mishnah is dealing with the Tarnagolas HaMedes HaGadol Beitzim, a chicken laying egg, I'm sorry. Yeah, an egg-laying chicken. Thank you, an egg-laying chicken. And the machlokes Beishamai Beisila is that Beishamai who is lenient holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beisila who is strict, just the opposite. Beishamai who is lenient holds like Rabbi Shimon, and Beisila who is strict holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But yet again, Rav Nachman himself is on record as saying what? That Beisila holds like Rabbi Shimon. That Beisila is like the lenient one in Muktza. So he contradicts himself. Tuch Nachman says, calm down. I'm the Chor of Nachman. I'm not contradicting myself. Gabi Shabbos, the Stam Lan Tanak Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Shabbos, so we'll say what Nachman is going to do is he's going to make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So when it comes to Shabbos, the Stam Lan Tanak Rabbi Shimon, that remember, when it comes to Shabbos, the halacha is a Stam Tana. Stam Tana means that a Mishnah with no attribution, or Bryce with no attribution, reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Disnan, mechatchin esad deluin lifnei abehema, because as the Bryce says, we go ahead and we could cut up a gourd in front of an animal. So you could cut it, right? So that's not the chiddush over here. Well, look at Rashi, mechatchin deluin, tilushin lifnei abehema, velar minan tircha delav tzorichu. So you could cut up a gourd for an animal as well. Now, what's the chiddush on that? This is nothing to do with our sugi. The chiddush on that is, I might have thought, the animal can eat the gourd as it is, but the animal doesn't need to cut up its food for it. So I might have thought that the act of cutting up the gourd for the animal is an act of what we call tircha yisera, unnecessary exertion, therefore should be aser. Therefore the Braisa says it's permitted, but that's not the part we're focusing on. The next part is what we want to focus on. Ves anavela livne aklavim. And what can you do? You can go ahead and you can take an avela. I will say, what is an avela? An avela is an animal that just died. So you can take that avela and you can cut it up and feed it to your dogs. Then we'll say, what's the chiddush in that? The chiddush in that is that this animal at the onset of Shabbos was what? Was alive and kicking, was alive and well, which means that by definition, it's muktzah, meaning a live animal is set aside for non-use on Shabbos. It has no permitted Shabbos use, and therefore the mice say it's muktzah. The fact that now when it dies on Shabbos, you are permitted to go ahead and cut it up. You're permitted to cut it up and give it to your dogs indicates again that we do take into account the change of status. This seems to reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon, who takes a more lenient view towards muktza. So look at Rashi. Before we get to Rashi, yes, and Avelath Maklavim, Mokim La, the base Hilo Kirabi Shimon. So Bosai, again, remember this Brisa, this Mishnah, excuse me, is the view of Rabbi Shimon. And we align in Hilcho Shabbos the view of Beis Hilo with the view of Rabbi Shimon that yields a relaxed view when it comes to the laws of muktzah. Look at Rashi. That's not available for Yaklav. Va'afapi shenis navla b'Shabbos. Even though this animal died on Shabbos. Which means that at the outset of Shabbos, twilight of Shabbos, it was not fit for animal consumption. Nevertheless, when the animal dies on Shabbos, we permit you to feed it to your dogs. Why? The less lon muktzah b'Shabbos. Because again, this opinion, Rabbi Shimon, again, I've also remember, these words are deceiving. It doesn't mean Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah. Everybody holds a muktzah. Rather, what does it mean? He has a more lenient view of muktzah. Hilchach magbiyem yal ha-shulchan demayir b'Shabbos mokim lo beis hilo. The name Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Rabbosai, this is also the same opinion that allows you to what? Pick up the shells and the bones directly from the table on Shabbos. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and we establish this to be the opinion of Beis Hillel as well. Kiechi delo tikshi hilchasa, the Karmelon halacha kistan mishnah, the Karmelon halacha kabeis Hillel. So we'll say this is very interesting. What's happening over here is the following, that the way, there's a number of assumptions that are happening over here. Number one, that the halacha normally follows a stam mishnah, which is a normally accepted principle in the decision making of halacha. So right, no halacha normally follows as a stam mishnah. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is stam mishnah in Shabbos is Rabbi Shimon, and assumption number three is that the halacha normally follows Beis Hillel. So therefore, Nachman says like this: when it comes to Shabbos, that a stam mishnah is normally Rabbi Shimon, and that halacha follows Beis Hillel. So therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to automatically align the shitos of Rabbi Shimon and Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel will hold the Rabbi Shimon with a more permissive, relaxed view of muktzah. However, aval gabi yom tov the stam lan tanik Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi say, when it comes to yom tov, a stam mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? This none. You may not go ahead and literally make firewood from koros. I will say koros is like a pile of wood that is going to be used for building. So that wood is specifically set aside for building. So you can't on Yom Tov decide that you're going to take a piece of wood from the pile of wood that's going to be used for building and use it for a sucker and use it to kindle your fire. Similarly, if you have a kora, if you have a building beam that broke on Yom Tov, you may not go ahead and use it for firewood on Yom Tov. Why not, Rabosai? Because the logic would be that since these items were set aside for non-use at the onset of Yom Tov, therefore what? Therefore they're muktzah. And Lemais, again, even though now you want to use it for a permitted purpose, those items are set aside for non-use. Whose opinion is this? Mokim lo lebeis hillel k'rabi Yehuda. Rabosai, again, Lemais, remember, a stam mishnah in Hilchos Yom Tov reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who takes a stricter view of the laws of muktzah, and therefore in the laws of Yom Tov, we align the position of Beis Hillel with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the Gemara says, look at Rashi, even though now this beam broke, and therefore the only thing it's usable is for firewood, since at the onset of Yom Tov it was not fit for this, once it's set aside for non-use, it's set aside for use for the duration of Yom Tov as well. Therefore we see that the concept of strict interpretation of muktzah is in effect for Yom Tov. So Bosa, listen to this. This is very interesting. So Lemaisa, what Rav Nachman is answering is like this. Is the laws are different by Shabbos and by Yom Tov. And Beis Hillel is different by Shabbos and by Yom Tov. Apparently by Shabbos, Beis Hillel takes a more relaxed view of muktzah, aligns himself with the stam opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And when it comes to Yom Tov, Beis Hillel takes a stricter approach, aligns himself with Rabbi Yehuda for a stricter approach of muktzah. And therefore, again, Rav Nachman's interpretation of our Mishnah is what? That the reason why Beis Hillel says that the egg is asr on Yom Tov, when the chicken lays the egg on Yom Tov, is because it's a tarnagolas halmedes agadol beis. And that's number one. It's an egg-laying chicken, number one. And number two, Beis Hillel holds it Rabbi Yehuda, who takes a strict interpretation of muktzah on Yom Tov, and therefore the egg is muktzah. So Rav says, one second. Nichti, man sasme le mas nisim. Who is the one who codified the Mishnah? Rebbe. It's Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Mishnah b'Shabbos d'stamlan k'Rabbi Shimon. U'mishnah b'Yom Tov d'stamlan k'Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say now, the Gemara just asks a side question. Because the Gemara says something very important, that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, a stam Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, meaning a lenient view of Muktzah. And when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov, So the halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Huda, a stricter view of muktzah. So the Gemara says, why? Why? Now, obviously, Rabbi Huda Hanasi Rebbe set it up that way. Why did Rebbe set it up that way? So what's the reason for that? Omri, Shabbos de Chamira is very interesting. Shabbos de Chamira, v'lo asi lizazuze bahem, stamlan k'Rabbi Shimon de Mekel. So also listen to this. Shabbos, where people go ahead and treat Shabbos with stringency. Many people are strict about the Shabbos, and they keep the Shabbos, and a person will not come to go ahead and denigrate the honor of the covenant, the sanctity of Shabbos. Even if there is a leniency in a particular area of halacha, that allows us to be maker like Rabbi Shimon. However, Yom Tov, Dekil, Va'asi lezalzulei beibar, I both say Yom Tov, which is already more mekel, and therefore again, because it's already more mekel, it's easier for people to perhaps take certain shortcuts and certain loopholes. Therefore, stanlan k'Rabbi Yehuda demachmir. So also, this is quite interesting. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is the following: that we're not scared of allowing for a leniency on Shabbos. Why? Because again, what's the general fear of allowing for a leniency? The general fear is that if you're lenient in this area, people may take additional leniencies of their own volition, on their own free will. And so the Gemara says, when it comes to Shabbos, where people treat Shabbos with a great degree of sanctity and are very careful with the details, being lenient in the laws of Muktzah will in no way erode Shmiras Shabbos. When it comes to Yom Tov, however, with Ervosa, we know this by Yom Tov, because unfortunately, many of the halachos of Yom Tov are misunderstood. People think sometimes that everything goes on Yom Tov, when in fact, Yom Tov is really like Shabbos in 98% of the ways. There's just one area, which is a big area, but it's one area of Ochel Nefesh that Yom Tov has certain leniencies. But for the majority of its observance, Yom Tov is just like Shabbos. So the Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi apparently felt that since when it comes to Yom Tov, we are more mekel on the halacha. We're concerned that, again, people take that kula and expand upon it in inappropriate ways. Therefore, we try to be machmir in other areas to safeguard the sanctity of Yom Tov. And therefore, again, we take a more machmir approach by the laws of Muktzah, paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says the following. B'mayu kimto. So now let's bring this together. So what have we established? So how did Rav Nachman establish this case? Rav Nachman established this case as dealing with we're dealing with an egg-laying chicken. Okay. And therefore, again, the real machlokas in Bishamay Sila is in what Rabbi Osai? Is in the laws of Mukta. So Beis Shammai, who says you can eat the egg, paskins like Rabbi Shimon, even on Yom Tov, and therefore, again, says you can eat the egg, because again, now the egg is permitted. And Beis Sila paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Everything is established Ben Hashmashos. The egg was set aside for non-use, again, Ben Hashmash, because it wasn't in existence. Therefore, the Maisa, it's Mukta. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, Ihachi, Ademifligi Bebeitza, Liflugu Batarnagolas. Why does the Mishnah have to frame the Machlokis, Beshnav Esilal, dealing with the egg? They could have the same exact Machlokis dealing with what? Dealing with the chicken itself. Dealing with the chicken itself. Meaning, can I eat the chicken on Yom Tov? Beshamai would say, yes. Because Beis Shammai, remember, takes a lenient view of Muktzah even by Yom Tov, and would say you can go ahead and eat the chicken even on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel would say no, because the Maisa, once it's an egg-laying chicken, that means blessing. That means it was not set aside for consumption ben Hashmashos. Once it was not set aside for consumption ben Hashmashos, you may not eat it on Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Lo diachal kochan de Beis Shammai de benolad shari. Oh, because Rabbi Osai, the Mishnah is coming to teach us a chiddush, teach us that what? Not only does Beis Shammai allow the egg, that's easy. What else does Beis Shammai allow? Excuse me. Not only does Beis Shammai allow the chicken, what else does Beis Shammai allow for? Even the egg. Even the egg. Because they're both like, the chicken is less of a chiddush. Why is the chicken less of a chiddush? Because it was in existence, so it was already there. Okay, so it's already there. The chiddush is that even something that was not even there at the onset of Yom Tov, Beis Shammai is still going to allow you to eat it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, if a liflugi b'tarnagoles, lo diachan kochan de beisila. So I could reverse that argument. Still, the Mishnah should frame the machlokes by the chicken itself and not the egg, and teach me the strength of Beis Hillel's opinion. That's not only does Beis Hillel prohibit the consumption of the egg, but Beis Hillel also prohibits what? The consumption of the chicken itself, most of which the Gemara says a very profound statement. The Gemara says, v'chi teima koach dehetera adif. Because you'll say maybe what the Mishnah is trying to reflect is what Rabbi Osai, the permissive view. Because in halacha, the ability to permit is a much greater accomplishment than the ability to prohibit. Look at Rashi. Rabbi says a very profound statement. Rashi says, Tov lo lahashmi'inu koach divrei hamatir. The Mishnah would rather express to us a more of the lenient opinion, something that permits someone that permits something. Shusomich al shmu'aso. Because Rabbi says, in order to permit something, you have to rely on what you've learned. Ve'ino yari lahatir. And you're not afraid to permit it. Aval koach ha'as osrin. But the koach to ask for something. Eino raya shakol yicholin lahachmir. Va'afilu bedavar hamutir. Those are such a profound statement. Anyone could be machmir. Right, anyone could prohibit something. That's easy to say, usur. It takes a greater koach to be able to imagine something. Of course, I've also again remember, you also have to be careful because nowadays a lot of people could be matir everything. Yeah. So again, even when you're matir something, you have to know what you're talking about, and you have to be able to stand on appropriate halachic ground. But the Gemara says over here is that in general we have this concept of koach dehetera adif. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that the way the Mishnah is set up is in order to express the leniency, or I should say the permissiveness of Beis Shammai's position. That we want to highlight the fact that Beis Shammai not only allows you to eat the chicken, that we don't even have to speak about that, but Beis Shammai even allows you to go ahead and eat the egg. So Gemara says, okay, v'niflug b'tarvayu. Why doesn't the Mishnah just state the machlokes with both items? Say both things. Namely, how would the Mishnah write? Tarnagolas ha'omeles legadol beitzim. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that if you have a chicken that is an egg-laying chicken, so what? So he ubeitzasa, when it comes to both eat itself, the chicken and its egg, beishamai omrim tochal. Beis Shammai says you could eat it. Ubeis Hillel omer lo tochal. And Beis Hillel say you may not eat it. So also, the Gemara suggests, again, frame the machlokes concerning both the chicken and the egg. So we'll say, when the Gemara asks this question, at this point in time now, what we've effectively done is we've refuted Rav Nachman's position. So Rav Nachman's understanding of the Mishnah can't really be the real understanding of the Mishnah, because if that was the case, the Mishnah should have really stated the machlokes of Beis Shammai Hillel both by the chicken as well as the egg, which now leads us to our next interpretation. Ella Omer Rabba. This is exceptionally fascinating. Rabba says the following. Here is the case. The Olam, the machlokes in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Silo, centers on the following case. So what are we talking about? We're not talking about an egg-laying chicken. We're talking about a chicken set aside for consumption. A chicken that you're going to eat. This was a chicken that was already marked for the table. Okay? So what's the machlokes? And says Rabbah, what is the case of the Mishnah? We're dealing with the case of the Mishnah of Yom Tov that falls out after Shabbos. Yom Tov is on Sunday. The case of the Mishnah of Beit HaShnod of Yom Tov is a Beit that was born on Sunday, falling out right after Shabbos. And what's the issue? Umishum hachana. It's an issue, Rabbosai, of preparation. Of preparation. What does this mean? V'kasava Rabba, Rabba holds, kol beitza demisyal daha itna, any egg that was born, that was laid today, me etmo gamrola. Rabbosai, in reality, any egg that the chicken lays today was already what? Was already fully formed in the mother, finished yesterday. The Rabba letame, and Rabba goes according to his reasoning, because Rabba holds, Dama Rabba, my dichsiv, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Now, Rabba says, very interesting. This pasuk over here is talking about Lesu. It's talking about by the month. It will be on Friday. They will prepare all that they will bring. So the Torah says that on Friday, a double portion of man fell. And what did you have to do on Friday, Rabbi Osai? You had to prepare everything on Friday that you are going to go and have on Shabbos. So Rabbi learns out from this, the following, Chol Mechin LeShabbos. What do we learn from here? That you must prepare from weekday to Shabbos, the Chol Mechin LeYom Tov. Rabbi Osai, here's what's interesting. Rabbi understands that this pasuk of Vehechinu Bayom HaShishi, Esa Sheyaviyu, is not just talking about preparation from weekday to Shabbos, but again, also from weekday to Yom Tov. So Rabbi understands that Yom Tov is also called Shabbos, and therefore Yom Tov and Shabbos are reckoned together. So what do we learn from this pasuk? That you can prepare on a weekday, from weekday to Shabbos, from weekday to Yom Tov. Ve'in Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbos, but you may not prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Ve'in Shabbos mechin l'Yom Tov. And Rabbi will say, what else? And what else? You may not prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov. So Rabbi says, you want to know what the problem with this egg is? This is a chicken that is fit for consumption. So what's the Rabbi say? If it's a chicken that's fit for consumption, the Maisa, we said before that the egg should be okay. Why is the first line of the Gemara? Uchla de'ifrasu. Right? It's just food separated from food. So what is Rabbah saying? No, this isn't Ishua Hachana. Rabbah say, this becomes the concept known as Hachana de Rabbah. Rabbah holds that Lemaisa, food that is going to be used on Yom Tov, must already be prepared from Erev Yom Tov. Now, I want to be clear. Rashi points this out. I'm just saying this outside because of time. Rabbah does not mean to say that it actually has to be fully prepared, meaning cooked and everything else. What Rabbah says is it has to be prepared in the way where a person has to know, Mikan ani ochel. This is what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I might cook it on Yom Tov. I might bake it on Yom Tov. That's totally fine. But mikan ani ochel, I know the food. I've identified the food already that I'm going to eat on Yom Tov. If I can't identify the food on a weekday that I'm going to eat on Yom Tov, then that food, says Rabbah, is not prepared and therefore may not be used. Therefore, says Rabbah, and now again, remember, we're making a couple of assumptions, well, really one major assumption, which is that when a chicken lays an egg today, in reality, when did it finish its formation?
Yesterday.
Which means that when the chicken lays the egg on Yom Tov, that egg was in fact really completed on Shabbos. In which case, it turns out that this egg was prepared for Yom Tov use when? On Shabbos. And says Rabbah, that's usur. You, in order to use something on Yom Tov, it must have been prepared from a weekday from Chol. We'll say there are no... All right, so the Gemara says the following. If that's the case, Elamei Ata, Yom Tov Ba'al Matishri. If that's the case, first of all, just take a quick look at Rashi. Vehechinu. Rashi says, Vehizmino, Kigon Mikan Ani Ochel. Now, what does it mean to prepare? Again, Rabbah, according to Rabbah, that on the weekday, a person has to be able to say, from here, I'm going to eat. So again, remember, Rashi just says what we said before. Rabbah is not suggesting that you literally have to prepare all of your food before Yom Tov, but rather what Hachana de Rabbah means is a person must be able to identify the food that they are going to be eating over the course of Yom Tov. So says the Gemara. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rabbah, if that's the case, Amalei Ata, Yom Tov Da'al Matishtri. So fine, Rabbah, I understand. So according to your logic then, the only time you can't eat an egg that the chicken laid on Yom Tov is when? Is when? On that specific case of Yom Tov that follows on the heels of Shabbos. But on a Stam Yom Tov, when the chicken lays an egg, everyone should agree that what? Yeah. That Lamaya said, it's okay. Why? Because again, it was prepared when?
Yes, sir.
Really Erev Yom Tov, and therefore it should be fine. To which the Gemara says, no. Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Achara Shabbos. No. The concern is, if we permit you to go ahead and eat the egg on a Stam Yom Tov, you may come to what? Eat the egg on a Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, or falls out after Shabbos. I Shabbos the Alma Tishri, but if the chicken lays an egg on a Stam Shabbos, then again a Shabbos standalone Shabbos, the egg should be permitted. Gzeira Mishum Shabbos Acher Yom Tov. Again, same issue. We're concerned if we do let you do that, that you'll come to go ahead and eat it on a Shabbos that falls out after Yom Tov. Umi guys, you know now he goes are like that. V'hatanya, we learned a Shochet es Hatarnagolas. If one shechts a chicken, Umatza Vabeitzim Gemuros, and one finds fully formed eggs inside the chicken. Mutaros la'achlan b'Yom Tov. You are permitted to eat it on Yom Tov. Now, Rabbah says, so what do you see from here? V'im Isa. So we see from here that you can eat the eggs. V'im Isa. Ligzar mishum hanach de misyal de b'yomayin. Now, if we're really worried about kazero, so why don't we say the following? That we're not going to let you eat the eggs that you find inside the chicken. Why? Because if we let you eat those eggs, you may come to what? You may come to eat the eggs that the chicken lays, that the chicken actually lays on Yom Tov. Amarlei beitzim gemuros v'may iman miyam, excuse me, beitzim gemuros v'may iman. So to which the Gemara answers, because finding fully formed eggs in the mother when you shecht it is a milsa delo shlichi, that's not a common occurrence. And Chazal were not gozer on uncommon occurrences. So Rabbosai, where we end off today is in Rabbah's position, and Rabbah's understanding of the Mishnah is that the issue over here is an issue of hachana. That because again we assume that the egg was fully formed on the day before. This is a case of Yom Tov that follows on the heels of Shabbos. Therefore, the egg was essentially prepared on Shabbos for Yom Tov use, and that is not permitted because the only items that can be used on Yom Tov are items that are prepared from a Yom Chol. But an item prepared from a Shabbos to a Yom Tov, or for that matter, from a Yom Tov for a Shabbos, will be precluded from the use. And that ultimately, according to Rabbah, is the position of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. Because I will stop over here, but I'll just point out something very interesting to you. Tosus, this bottom Tosus, the second to third class Tosus of Vayom Yom Hashishi, points out a very interesting ramification of Rabbah's position. Rabbah, remember, understands that Yom Tov and Shabbos are in fact linked. They're in the same boat, right? They're connected to one another. So Tosus says there's an interesting ramification of that, which is that according to Rabbah, you would require Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov as well. And also, what does it mean? Tosus points, it's a machlokes, whether or not the mon fell on Yom Tov. In fact, Tosas writes, I'll just quote to you, he says the last three lines and the short lines in Tosas, Tema de kan mashma shaman lo hayu yori biyamtav ki depeirish rashi, hashishi arayi lachan of azeh b'chol. So the Gemara says over here, from this statement of Rava, it would appear that Rava held that the man did not fall on Yom Tov, because Rava is equating Yom Tov and Shabbos with each other. But elsewhere, it seems to indicate that the man did fall on Yom Tov, to which Tosa says, V'yishlomar dimidrashim chalukim. So Tosas, there are different midrashim. There's a machlokes as to whether or not the man fell on Yom Tov. So I'm just pointing this out to you because this machlokes, this midrashim chalukim actually trickles down in practice that there were certain minhagim that did not have lecha mishnah on Yom Tov. The generally accepted custom is we do have lecha mishnah even on Yom Tov. Why? Because again, that stems from the fact that we assume that there was a double portion of man that fell on Erev Yom Tov as well. But there were customs not to worry about lecha mishnah on Yom Tov, reflecting those opinions that the man did in fact fall on Shabbos. So we'll stop over here, pick up here tomorrow.
What about a bowl of
Shabbos?
Are you allowed to eat that on Sunday?
I think everyone's got this.
Are you allowed to eat it on Sunday?